This is 20 Minute Tabletop, a podcast where each week we discuss something that excites us in the world of tabletop gaming in 20 minutes or less. And in this one, it's a solo cast from me, Kev, and I'm going to share with you 10 ways you can upgrade your games for £5 or less. So the topic of upgrading and improving your games is one very close to my heart because I have dedicated my life to it. I've made a company called Tabletop Upgrades, and that's my full-time job. I manufacture all kinds of wonderful upgrades and accessories for a range of board, card and miniatures games. Now, I don't want to make this podcast an advertisement for my business, but I do want to share with you why I even did this in the first place, and I'll do a full podcast about this in the future. But basically, as you get older, life gets busier, it becomes harder and harder to get your games to the table. So my logic is that when you do get a game to the table, it should be really easy to get out and set up. And when you do, it should be really enjoyable. You don't want to be spending your time searching for tokens, setting things up and dealing with horrible little baggies. You've worked hard for that time, so you should really enjoy it and be rewarded with a really quality experience. The tagline for my business is games that look better, play better, and set up quicker. So this list is with those three factors in mind. But the idea is, they're not expensive, custom-made components. They're going to be upgrades you can make for less than a fiver that you can probably find in any store rather than just a board game store that will elevate your experience and make life easier on the tabletop. So in no particular order, I'll start off with my number 10, which is cheat sheets. And by this, I mean one-page rule summaries. And quite often you can download these from BoardGameGeek, BGG.com, or if you have a look on Patreon, there's even some creators which are creating these one-page rule summaries so that once you've got some familiarity with the game, but perhaps you haven't played it in a few months, then you can just pull out this cheat sheet from the box, print it off once, and it'll jog your memory. You'll be straight back into it in no time. And that's something that I've done with a lot of my games. So even though I've got a small collection, as I've said many times, I spend most of my time miniature gaming. So the board games, when I get them out, rather than wade through the rule book again, trying to find all the different bits, I can just pull the cheat sheet out and I'm up and running again. So the ninth one on the list is possibly quite an obvious one, and that's digital apps and online resources. So it's worth checking for each game whether there is actually an online app for it. I mean, I played Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion for many months and it just felt like I was doing my account. I played solo two-handed, so that probably didn't help. But then I found the Gloomhaven Helper app and it took care of loads of the admin for me and made it a much more enjoyable experience. And there's apps for all kinds of games. It's very possible some of your favourite games have an official app or an unofficial app and you just don't know about it. So it's worth having a look. That said, if you don't know about BGG.com, which I can't believe anyone who listens to this podcast doesn't, look in the files section because all these cheat sheets and also user-made and fan-made expansions are often present for each game. I was playing Renegade, is one of Ricky Royal's masterpieces, in my opinion. It's like a cyberpunk solitaire, well, 1-5 player game. Had a look on the files section of BGG. Turns out it's all kinds of extra scenarios for this out of print game. I was absolutely made up. A real treat if you can find that kind of thing. At 7, I'm still going to keep my Captain Obvious hat on. Card sleeves. I think they're absolutely essential. Obviously, the poker size card sleeves for most board games and tarot card sleeves are something that also come in useful. Now, it protects the cards, obviously, particularly for your favourite games that are out of the collection all the time. Protects them from spills, greasy marks and things like that. But there's also another advantage, which means you can write on them. So you can maybe mark up grades. In miniatures games, quite often you'll have a card for a miniature and you'll mark on the health on the card rather than having to worry about additional tokens or wound dials. Which is a nice little segue into my number 6, which is a dry wipe black pen. Now this serves two functions. The first, again, is pretty obvious. It's for writing on these dry erase type surfaces. So you can actually get dry erase cards from Amazon, less than a five. I should have included that in the list. They're great for keeping track of scores, maybe even proxying cards in games like Magic or Netrunner. But for the black pen, you can write on the card sleeves to make notes or to mark health or any other kind of conditions in your game. But the other reason why you need a black pen is to edge tokens. Now, this is a bit of a niche thing. I do it on the small collection of games that I've got because I think it makes such a difference to the visual appeal of these games. So once you've punched the tokens out of the cardstock, they've got Beautiful artwork, but a horrible white cardboard edge. So you just take the edge of the marker, the bullet tip marker, run it around the edge of the token, and it's black, and it really elevates them, in my opinion. It's pretty hard work to do. I mean, you're looking at half an hour to do a game. But I recently did this to Disc Wars, which is another out-of-print Final Fantasy game. Warhammer Disc Wars, reprinted from the 90s, I think. And it's an abstraction of a miniatures game. You've just got discs representing the units, and they move by flipping over. So the larger the diameter of the disc, the further they move. It's absolutely genius. Again, I'm going to do some kind of podcast on this in the future because I love it. But edged all those out, it's taken them from pieces of cardboard to premium quality looking components. I absolutely love it. At five, you've got to be careful because this is a hobby within a hobby. And that is creating your own foam core board game inserts with foam core, scalpel, and a rule. Now, you can get all these supplies from an art shop for less than a fiver. Although if you want lots of sheets, then you're possibly looking at making a slightly bigger investment. And what you do is you measure it out, cut them out to size, and then you can stick them together either with hot glue or my preferred method, and I've done a video on my Tabletop Upgrades YouTube channel about this, is to use black masking tape, which I didn't even know existed, but it turns out that people who mount photos professionally use it to edge the back of the photos and the art prints in. So you can create some really nice board game inserts, which mean you set up the game so much quicker. And I think it's a real premium thing to do for very little outlay. But like a lot of things in life, what you save in money, you lose in time. So be prepared to go down a bit of a rabbit hole in this one. And there's a brilliant subreddit which is dedicated to the idea of making foam core inserts. Before I go on, I think I'll just have a little aside about one of the things that excites me about these time-saving and organisational things. I know it's a bit sad, but I think it comes from my background of being an engineer and working with this idea of lean methodology. Now, if you're not familiar with lean, then the official boring definition is it's the elimination of waste through continuous improvement, which doesn't sound very exciting at all. And to be honest, it's just as well that I've been with my wife for 20 years, because if I've ever got thrown back into the dating pool, then the idea of someone who's into miniatures games, board games, and lead methodology, I don't think he's going to be considered much of a catch out in the wild. But the way I like to think of lean, and the way that's taught through a guy called Paul Akers, is this idea of 2 second lean, is that every single day, you just do one little thing that will save you 2 seconds in life. Now, in kind of everyday life, that might be moving the tea bags closer to the kettle so you're not walking back and forth across the kitchen, and it compounds over the weeks, months and years to make a massive difference. And if you do one little improvement like that every single day, life gets so much better. So the way I like to think of lean is to do less of the stuff that's annoying and more of the stuff that you enjoy. And who doesn't want to do that? So maybe the idea of doing one little improvement to your board game collection every single day or week doesn't particularly appeal to you, but every time you get a game out, then maybe it's an idea to put it back in a better condition than it came out. And I saw something when I went to the board game cafe in Oxford, Thirsty Meeples, with Tom. We got Cascadia out, as discussed in the first or second podcast, and someone had written in the box lid, 20 tiles plus 3 for each player, which is just such a little thing. Some might consider that vandalism. They wouldn't do that to their own game collection. But that one little sentence saved wading through the rule book. We were able to just get the stuff out on the table. And if that was in my collection, which it is now actually, having sourced it from eBay and my one in, one out, I got rid of a number of games and got Cascadia in just because it works really well with the family. I've got a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, both who love it. My wife, who's not particularly into games, really likes it. But I'm going to do it to my game as well. Just note that in the lid, because next time I get it out, it'll be there, I'll remember it, no more wading through the rule book. And it's even more brief than the cheat sheets that I mentioned earlier on. Now, the next one is split into kind of 2 parts, really. The first bit is little bowls or token trays for while you're in-game. Empty out the baggies, or even better, if you've got a board game organizer, remove the parts from the labeled up area, put them in the little bowl, and then they're easy for everyone to get out. Now, there's a few different ones on the market. You can buy ones, I think it's called stacks, which are a really clever modular system. They actually stack up, you can store your components, the bottom of them a kind of radius so that you can really easily take the tokens out. They don't get stuck in a corner or anything. I think these ones also stack together to make little card holders, so it's a really clever modular design. But the reason why it's a two-parter is the way I would approach this is to get some 3D printable component trays. And there's these brilliant ones with a little funnel. Now, if you've got your own 3D printer, then it's going to cost pennies to run these off. If you don't, you can buy them off somewhere like Etsy. If you search for funnel component tray, they stack up beautifully, take no space at all, color-coded, and they're about £6, so they're not quite in the less than a fiver category, although they are pennies if you to do them yourself. And the reason why this second part is a little bit bigger is I want to kind of squeeze in the idea of 3D printable components. Now, this is another topic that I can speak of great length about. I've got a couple of 3D printers. I've got both FDM, which is kind of, think of a glue gun that squirts out hot plastic. It builds up the plastic in layers. And I've also got a resin printer, which is capable of producing really finely detailed miniature models. So you can, it basically prints it out of liquid resin. It's almost like the reverse of Terminator going into the molten bath. But with resin printing, the model comes out of the liquid bath. Now, this definitely warrants its own podcast in itself because it's a huge topic. But you might be thinking, why are you going on about 3D printing? I don't even have a 3D printer. Well, you can have access to one without having to own one. In fact, now many libraries have them. There's also things called makerspaces or hackerspaces. Most large cities have them now. You can go in, book a slot and take use of their equipment. Maybe just pay for the tiny bit of plastic that you use. There'll be some amount of training, and again, like all things, what you don't pay for with money, you pay for in time, so there's a little bit of a learning curve there. But for the time poor, one way of getting access to this is by finding a local 3D printing group on Facebook, and these are full of offers of people providing 3D printing services. Now, I've had some stuff done, and I cannot believe the price that people are prepared to do the work for. I think people buy the 3D printers as kind of a hobby project, and they're prepared to run it overnight in their own house, just as a kind of a side gig, for a few extra pounds. Now, it's not going to cost that much to them, but it's a lot of time. They certainly couldn't run a business full time doing it at these rates. But the upside is, you're allowing someone to enjoy their 3D printing hobby, and you can also get dirt cheap accessories for your board games. So, assuming that you find someone who's able to 3D print, there's also online services such as Shapeways that will do it for you, though they are significantly more expensive. Where do you actually get the files to 3D print? Well, obviously you could design them yourself in something like Fusion 360 or even Tinkercad. But what I urge everybody to do is to have a look at a website called Thingiverse. Now, this is to 3D models what Google Images is to pictures. You get on Thingiverse.com. There's also Yegi or Cults 3D. There's a few different options, but Thingiverse is definitely one of the longest standing and the most popular. Stick into the search bar the game that you're looking for, and I can almost guarantee that someone will have uploaded their 3D models, which are 3D printable, and the file type that you're looking for is called an STL, a stereolithography file. Download that. You can send it through a 3D printer or just email it to the guy off Facebook, and they'll print it out in plastic, and you'll get a relatively high quality component back. Could be a board game organizer. It could be a score tracker. It could be a piece of terrain for your miniatures wargaming. There's all kinds of options, but really do have a look at Thingiverse.com. And even if you don't go down the 3D printing route, it may give you some ideas for you to do some crafting at home and make some upgrades yourself. Now, you'll be pleased to hear that the next one is a lot simpler. Coin capsules. So what on earth are these? Well, coin collectors keep mint coins in little plastic cases called coin capsules, and you can buy hundreds of these for a few pounds off eBay or Amazon. I imagine the specialist coin resellers that will also sell them. And they come in two little halves, so you split it open and there's a gap big enough for a coin in there. Now, you can get them in all kinds of sizes. And I first heard of this through the Arkham Horror community because, as we discussed in the Arkham Horror podcast, the Arkham Horror Living Card Game has a chaos bag. And in the chaos bag are little cardboard tokens with numbers on, some symbols, and one of the great joys of the game is you put your hand in the bag, rustle around, and pull out a token. Now, doing that maybe 100 times a game, for as many games you can play, you can well imagine that these little cardboard tokens really get worn, and they get battered and delaminated, and one of the ways to protect them is put them in coin capsules. Not to mention, as Tom always says, the joy of putting your hand in a bag and pulling something out. I always think this guy should try crisps. It's basically the same thing, but you get to eat it. Anyway, don't try that with the Chaos Bag. Put your hand in, and just by encasing them in plastic, it makes them that little bit thicker. They make a brilliant noise, and it's a way more tactile experience. You don't need to worry about them rustling around in there. It clacks. I sound weird now, but it's brilliant, and it's a real nice upgrade. Now, that's all very well and good for something obvious like Arkham Horror. Now, I think they're 25mm coin capsules. Why on earth do you need them for other games that don't have tokens that you want to protect? Well, there's lots of games that don't have the tokens you need or might want for that game system. I'll give you some examples. Gaslands, for example, gives you a rule book, no tokens. Now, you can buy expensive acrylic, lovely engraved and etched token upgrade sets from people like me on the internet. What happens if you don't have the funds or you just don't want to do that? Well, what you can do is you can print off the token sets. If you're handy in something like Photoshop or a free open source editor like GIMP or maybe an online option like Canva, you can make your own tokens, print them out, use a little circle die cutter to punch them out. And what that is you don't want to be cutting hundreds of these tokens out by hand with a pair of scissors. It's kind of like a hole punch that you would use for some paperwork, except the hole it produces is much bigger and you can specify the diameter. You can buy a 25mm one for 25 coin capsules and so on. You buy them in different sizes, punch out the token that you've made, put it in a coin capsule, and you've got a high quality, tactile, beefy plastic token for next to nothing. This is also great for proxying games, which again should be perhaps another item on my list. Have a look on Board Game Geek for the print and play. They run a competition every single year. You can download games that are absolutely brilliant, print them out on your printer, and these games, quite often, the winners of the competition will get picked up by publishers and made into games you can purchase at the game store. So you can get ahead of the trend, keep on the bleeding edge of this hobby, download some of these, use the coin capsules to make some high quality stuff, and also it's way quicker than printing stuff out, laminating and trying to cut it out with a pair of scissors. So I really recommend something like coin capsules. Works for out of print games as well, or things that you want to proxy. So Netrunner, no longer made by Final Fantasy Games. Nisai, I think it's called. There's like a fan-made curation of the game system. They do an amazing job. You can only buy tokens from Etsy, again, from companies like me. Maybe you don't want to do that. Coin capsules. It's a way forward. Can't recommend them enough. Okay, coming into the home straight now. Next one, poker chips. Now, these are pretty expensive if you buy them new. Don't know what it's like around the world. And pleasingly, looking at the podcast stats, there's people tuning in from all across the globe. So do let us know where you're listening from. We absolutely love it. But in the UK, at least, every single charity shop or thrift store, op shop, whatever you call them in your country, seems to have poker chips, like little sets of them. Not the world's best quality, but the little polymer ceramic type ones for like £4 or £5. So if that's available in your country, get a secondhand set of poker chips. Brilliant as currency. They're so tactile. In fact, the whole Chip Theory Games, which is one of my favourite publishers, make things like Too Many Bones and Hoplar Markers. They've based their company off how tactile and fun these things are to handle. But again, make a great currency, any kind of trading. We've got little cardboard coins in the game. Get rid of those. Get some poker chips. Much more fun. Unusually for me, this has all been very board game heavy, but one for the miniatures gamers, a baking tray. Now, I'd never thought of this. I've got a nice case. In fact, I actually produce cases for miniatures games called the War Chest. You can see it on my website. And there's all kinds of expensive miniatures cases you can buy out there. Some of them costing a couple of £100. And all of these things do the same job as a baking tray. Because what you can do is put your magnetized miniatures on there, stick them to it, take the baking tray from your car to the gaming center. Things don't slide around. And you save all your precious hobbying. And this podcast hasn't been a top 10 as such. But if it was, this would definitely be my number one. And the final one is thematic music for your board games. Now, if you've got a Spotify or Amazon Music account, something like that, you can just dribble into the search bar, Arkham Horror playlist or Gloomhaven playlist. And to me, this elevates the gaming experience to another level for next to no money. If you've not got access to those, you can just do it on YouTube. In fact, there's channels dedicated to thematic lists for all kinds of different games. It's absolutely brilliant and something that I really enjoy doing. In fact, I even do it when I cook food. You know, if I'm having tacos, I'll get onto Last FM and get some internet Mexican radio on. I absolutely love the fact that we can go on the internet and project ourselves into a different time, and space through the music. So I really love that, and I recommend you try that if you haven't before. So that's the end of this list of 10 things. I hope you found at least one of these useful, and you may even use one of these ideas in the future. But as always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share it. Let us know what you think of it in the review section on your favourite podcatcher. But until next time, happy game upgrading.